Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. Our responsibility, part four. Let's review first. I think just responsibility, just number one, if you look at in your Bibles there, is to seek. And just Colossians 3:1 reads, if then you were raised with Christ, and seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And then we looked at responsibility number two, set. So we are to seek, and just we are to set. Look at Colossians 3:2, and that verse says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek, set. And then number three, put to death, or just mortify. I think what King James said, mortify. And that is Colossians 3:5, which there reads, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, and fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and just covetousness, which is idolatry. And then we come to responsibility, just number four, put off. And just Colossians 3:8-9. And that reads, but now you yourselves, notice it's a responsibility for you yourselves to, we are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man just with his deeds. In the great spiritual transformation experienced by every believer, there is a twofold and just coincident operation. The putting off of the old and the putting on of the new. And that brings us to responsibility, just number five. This is new material now. And we are to put on. Put on. And have put on the new man who is renewed in what knowledge? According to the image of him who created him. And that word put on means to sink into clothing. Put on. To clothe oneself. Think about when you got up this morning. You got dressed. You put things on. But first you had to take stuff off, right? But now you have to put things on. Put on these things. It is just like putting on what clothing? David Guzik says, what phrase Paul used was, it was commonly used for what changing a just set of what clothes. And we can almost picture a just person taking off the old and what putting on the new man in Jesus. You are taking off the old garments that are stained. And you know, when I work in my garage, they usually get very stained. But I don't want to keep those dirty clothes on. I want to take them off and I want to put on clean clothes. That is the picture here. Just we've put things off. And now we need to put on things. Back to Colossians 3:3-10 again. And it says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And what notice, it's the new man, not a new man. It is the definite article. The new man, this is in Christ Jesus, the new man, the new man. The Believer's Bible Commentary says the new man refers to our new position as with children of God. There has been a new creation, And just we are new creatures. Put on that new man. You've gotten rid of the old. Put on the new. Just a new man has a new heart. New thoughts. New life. And just when I lived the old way, there were some thoughts that I don't want to have today. Some evil, wicked thoughts. Don't think that way anymore. You're what new man, new heart, new thoughts, a new life. John Gill says by the new man, it is what meant the new nature, the new principle, or just work of grace in the soul. Elsewhere called a new creature. Matthew Henry says, those who have put off the old man have put it off with its deeds. And what those who have put on the what new man must put on all its deeds. Not only espouse good principles, but act them in a good conversation. Remember Colossians 3:8? But now you yourselves, this is what we need to do. We have put off, and now we need to put on. Back to Colossians 3:10. You have what put on the new man who is renewed. This new man needs to be renewed. And that word renewed means to renovate, to cause to grow up, to make new, to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. Vincent Ward study says, present participle is what being renewed. In what process of which is just continuous renewal. But it also gives the idea of quality. We need to be renewed. And when Matthew Henry says, he what new man is said to be just renewed in knowledge. Because an ignorant soul cannot be a good soul. Without knowledge, the heart cannot be good. Yeah, and I would think of an old tea bag that I used to, that I read and I kept. It was an old tea bag tag from an old Lipton tea bag. And they used to put just little comments, little phrases on them. Yeah, and just one phrase was, if what ignorance is bliss, why aren't there more happy people in the world? And it makes me think about this verse. Our minds need to be renewed in knowledge. Every day it needs to be renewed. Look at Proverbs 9:2, please. Proverbs 9:2. Proverbs 9:2. And that verse reads also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. We need knowledge to live, especially as a believer. We are in a spiritual battle. We need knowledge. We need our minds renewed daily. Yeah. And that word good means well, pleasant, oh, agreeable, excellent, sweet. If we don't renew our minds, it is not good. It is not good because our minds aren't pleasant. They are not agreeable. They are not excellent. They are not sweet if we do not renew our minds. Just the grace of God works upon the will and affections. By renewing the understanding. The new man is what hungry to know what God's word says? Are just you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Look at Romans 12, please, 1 and 2. Just, you all know this verse. We've talked about this verse many times. In fact, I think the last time Pastor Tom preached, he brought up this verse. And that verse reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your just reasonable service. Yeah. And would do not be, be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and just perfect will of God. Want to know God's will? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Spend time in the Scriptures. Renew your mind. Spend time with the Lord. Renew your mind. We need it every day. Every day. This renewing it is just continually just progressing to completion. Back to Colossians 3:10 again. That verse says, just renewed in knowledge. What is that knowledge? This knowledge means precise and correct, full discernment. God's word is precise. God's word is correct. This should be the first book we read right here. The first book, not the commentators. I would love to read commentators. I would love to look up the meaning of the words. But this is where it starts, right here. The word of God. The word of God, it is precise, it is correct. We need to renew our minds with this book. Yeah, and back to the same verse, and I've put on the new man. Who is renewed in what knowledge? According to the image of him who created him. And this word image means just likeness, profile. Resemble. We should resemble Christ. By reading this word, we are made like Christ, putting it into practice, doing what it says. The what new man is, what putting on Christ, we are to resemble God. When people look at us, they should say, that person reminds me of Jesus. There was once a man just where I used to work. He came up to me. He was studying me. He was a new man. He was there. I guess about a month, and I did not know he was watching me. And then just one day he came up to me and he said, "You're a man of the cloth. I can tell. I can tell you're a man of the cloth. You don't curse. You don't swear. You don't do this. You don't do that." It should be obvious to the world who we are. It should be obvious to the world. Put on Christ. Look at Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Genesis 1, please. 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, Let them have just dominion over the fish of the sea. Yeah. And over the birds of the air. Yeah. And over the cattle. Yeah. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. Yeah. In the image of God, he would created him. Male and what female, he would created them. We are to be like God. Not God, but like God. God-like in how we live. The Believer's Bible commentary says, the image of God is what not seen in the shape of our bodies, but in the beauty of the renewed mind and heart. Yeah. In my old way of life, God was not seen. But in the new way of life, he should be evident to all. And what holiness, love, humility, meekness, kindness, and just forgiveness, these make up but the what divine character. Amen. Adam Clark says, God in this case is the artist. Man is the copy. And what God himself, the original from which this copy is to be taken. Now, I don't want my children to be like me. I want them to be like God. Amen. Yes, they may have the same build as I. They may have little hair like I. But I don't want them to be like me. I want them to be like Christ.
Amen.
Like Christ. And just Colossians 3, and with 3, verse 11 reads, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all, and what in all, in what Christ, race distinctions disappear. That's all I'm going to say about that verse. It's just a touch on it because it's there. But the main focus is to put on today. Put on. And so let's go to verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. If just you know Christ as Savior, we are the elect of God, holy and beloved. That word elect means select. By implication, favorite, chosen, picked out ones. We are the picked out ones. Nothing to be ashamed of. David Gusick says, the new man is elect of God. This means that God has chosen the Christian. Yeah. And what chosen him to be something special in his plan. Yeah. Alexander McLaren says, the true effect of what knowing that that just we are what God's elect, holy, and beloved, it is to soften our hearts, and what to lead us to walk among men as just mirrors and embodiments of what God's mercy to us. Elect is a word that frightens some. But it should be taken both as a comfort and as a destiny to fulfill. That should bring us comfort, knowing God has chosen us. But there's a destiny, a just responsibility to fulfill, being chosen by God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That word holy there means sacred, physically pure, and morally blameless, or just religious, ceremonially consecrated, saint. In just some of the nursing homes, I say, I'm a saint. And, you know, people look at me very strangely like, he's a saint? Yes, I am called a saint. Scripture calls me a saint. I'm a saint. Not in the Catholic Church idea of it, but in the Scripture's idea, I'm a saint. So is every believer. And that means we should be living a holy life. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And that word beloved means to be fond of, to love dearly, to be well pleased. Think about how much God loves us. We are beloved by Him. We are so beloved that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. We are so beloved. Think about how God here is. He is what telling us what we are. We're elect. We are holy. We are beloved. But it doesn't end there. There's things we should be doing. Just we'll get to them in a moment. And what Bengel says, the order of the words, elect, holy, beloved. Answers to the order of the things. Election from eternity. And just precedes sanctification in time. And he was sanctified. Feeling God's love. Imitate it. And what Joseph Benson says what holy, dedicated, and just conformed to Him. And just beloved by Him. Or what set apart to His service. And what blessed with the tokens of His peculiar favor. After the knowledge of just who we are, now just we are told to put on. Look at Colossians 3:12 again. And notice that it says, put on. And then he gives us a list of what things we are to put on. And again, that word put on means to sink into. Like clothing, put on, clothe oneself. And just what are we to put on? This begins the list. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and just forgiving one another. If when anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now let's take these words apart, because I love taking the words apart. I know I am strange, but I would like to get the idea of just what these words mean, because the words mean something. What do they mean? Let's find out. So first thing to put on is tender mercies. And what King James says, bowels of mercy. It means compassion, pity, mercy, bowels in which compassion resides. Ages, heart of compassion. Emotions, longings, manifestations of pity. We should feel pity for the less fortunate. We shouldn't be indifferent. But I'm afraid sometimes I am indifferent. And I'm sure some of just you are too. We need to put on tender mercies. We should have pity and compassion for others. Something desperately needed today. I know something I need to put on more is tender mercies. Look at 1 John 3:17. I have it up on the screens. That verse says this, but whoever has this world's goods and what sees his brother in need and what shuts up his heart from him, how does the what love of God abide in him? If just you see a need and just you can meet that need and you don't, where's the love of God? Where's the love of God in you? We need to put on tender mercies. Matthew Henry says, bowels of mercy. The just tenderest mercies. Those who owe so much to mercy ought to be merciful to all who are proper objects of mercy. Think about it. We are elect, holy, beloved. That's showing, you know, God has shown us His what mercy. We should show it to others. We ought to be merciful to others. Luke 6:36 says, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. We're commanded to be merciful. Put on tender mercies. Joseph Benson says, tender mercies, namely, toward all the afflicted, destitute, and what distressed, especially those of the household of faith. I think many in the church feel alone when they're going through hard times because people are not putting on tender mercies. Amen. They're not reaching out to those even among us who are having bad times. Amen. Now, I don't sense that here. But in some churches, I can think of a young man who was very different than a lot of people. He was kind of strange, backwards, if you will. And just one day, he stopped coming. Nobody was reaching out to him. Nobody reached out to him. Very needy person. Very needy guy. We need to reach out. We need to put on tender mercies. Biblical Illustrator says, bowels of mercy. Ages phrase expressing the effect on the body of what strong emotions of what pity. What genuine pity. It is what not only visible on the countenance, and what uttered by the lips, but is felt in the inmost heart, and what prompts to generous actions. How are you at what putting on tender mercies? How are you Yeah, our putting on tender mercies. Next, put on kindness. Put on kindness. Verse 13, put on tender mercies. Next is kindness. And the word kindness means useful. That is moral excellence. In what? Character or demeanor. Gentleness, goodness, kindness, integrity. How do you treat other people? Kindness just refers to the temper we should show just toward those we meet. In the daily intercourse of what life, who are on an equality with ourselves. You, a Christian, should be amiable, courteous, kind in what speech and action, and what eager to relieve others according to his means. They just the farthest removed from a crabs, sullen, curlish disposition. What does your temper look like? Is it kind? Is it gentle? Or is it crabbed, sullen, curlish? Just this week, I was in what Rite Aid, picking up some new medicine, and I got behind a fella that I wasn't sure he was in what line or not. On the floor, they've got stuff because they would want you 6 feet apart. So he was standing on just one. I was on the second one. He was looking at the pill boxes. So I thought, okay, just maybe he's in line waiting for what medicine, and he's going to pick out a pill box for his medicine. But he just waited and waited. Waited. So I asked, sir, are what you in line? And he bit my head off. Does it look like I'm in line? Well, yes, sir, because you're standing on the dot that's in what line for the pharmacy. Well, he was crabbed, sullen, and what, curlish. And well, that kind of made me the same way. Under my breath, I said, idiot. I should this. Thankfully, he didn't hear it. But that was my wrong, right? I was not showing tender mercies. I was crabbed at that moment in time too. I was not being kind to him either. Tender mercies, kindness. Even though we may be treated wrong, we don't have the right to treat others the same way. The Believer's Bible Commentary says, kindness speaks of the unselfish spirit of what doing for others. It is an attitude of what affection or goodwill. And I was convicted because that wasn't me at that moment. It was started out good, sir. You know, I was kind, I was gentle, I was just asking a simple question. But I felt attacked. I honestly did. Biblical illustrator, kindness. It is active goodwill. Not Yeah, not, excuse me, not merely ready to sympathize with suffering, but in every way to do good to others. It is simple, pure, brotherly. Yeah. Ephesians 4:32 reads, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving just one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Just the application, are just you kind to others? Even those who may offend you, are you kind to others? Next thing to put on is humility. Put on humility. Look at the verse again, Colossians 3. Put on tender mercies, kindness, and then humility. And this word means just humbleness of mind. It means a deep sense of just one's moral littleness, modesty, lowliness of mind. The preacher's homiletical says these words describe the estimate that is to be formed of self. The believer is what taught not to overrate nor unduly to depreciate himself. But the more exalted his views of God, and the more he just remembers his own unworthiness, weakness, ignorance, and sin, the more softly and what lowly does he seek to walk. The humble man is the most susceptible to compassion. And what genuine in its practical just manifestation. The proud man is what too full of himself to feel for others. He is always dissatisfied. Think about a proud man. He is never satisfied. Never satisfied. Never. Matthew Henry says, humbleness of mind. And just submission to those above us. And just condescension to those below us. I know some guys that aren't humble, period. I used to play softball just with some of them. And there were always arguments between those who weren't humble. Always. Think about this story. This is a good story. A French general riding on what horseback at the head of his troops heard a soldier complain and say, "It is very easy for the general to command us what forward while he rides and just we walk." Then the general dismounted. And compelled the complaining soldier to get on his horse. Then coming through a ravine, a bullet from a sharpshooter struck the rider and he fell dead. Then the general said, "How much safer it is to walk than to ride." That man was a target. That common man thought the general had it easy. He's on his horse. We have to walk. We have to carry all this gear. We have our weapons. He thinks too highly of himself. Well, no, actually, it was the soldier thinking too highly of himself. And just when he got on the horse, boom, he got shot. Dead. Don't think too highly of yourselves. 1 Peter 1:5. it reads this, likewise, you younger people, just submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is in the face of the proud. He just resists them. He's in their face. But he gives grace to the humble. Yeah. How important do you think you are? Do you think too highly of yourself? Next, put on meekness. Meekness. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Meekness means gentleness, mildness. Yeah. Preacher's homiletical says meekness is the evidence. In just modesty. Of what countenance? Gentleness of what manner? Softness of voice? And what mildness of what language? It is opposed to rudeness or harshness. And David Gusick says, meekness shows how just humility, just will affect my actions toward others. I just will not dominate. Or just manipulate. Or what coerce for my own ends. Even if I have the power and the ability. Meekness. See what Believer's Bible Commentary says. Meekness does not speak of just weakness, but just rather the strength to deny oneself and to walk in what grace toward all men. 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in what that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and what quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Of great price. Are you meek? Are what you meek? Next, put on long suffering. Put on long suffering. So put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. That word means patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Boy, somebody does us wrong and we want to jump on them, right? Just like I did with that guy in Rite Aid. No, long-suffering. Suffering long. We don't like to be patient, do we? Yeah, even in the line at Walmart. We don't like to wait, but we should be long-suffering. Long-suffering, which is just meekness continued. Though subjected to the fiercest provocations, it is opposed to resentment, revenge, and wrath. I have heard so many parents say, if he hits you, hit him back. That's not long-suffering, is it? That's not patience, is it? No, that's revenge. That is revenge. Popular New Testament says it is slowness to punish, quietness toward wrongdoing. Matthew Henry says, if what God is long-suffering to us, excuse me. Yeah, well, under all our provocations of him, we should exercise long-suffering to others in like cases. Thank God he's long-suffering, right? Thank God he's patient with us. That he doesn't punish us the minute we sin. No, he's long-suffering. He's patient. We should be the same way. Yeah. Are you long-suffering? Patient toward others as God is toward you? Next, we put on bearing just with one another. Whoops. Yeah, sorry. It would jump too. We need to move what to verse 13? Yeah, and just we should bear just with one another. Bearing with one another. And that word means to hold just oneself up against. And that is figuratively put up with. Bear with, endure, forbear, suffer. We are to put up with each other. Plainly put. And sometimes that isn't easy, is it? Sometimes that's hard. We rub each other the wrong way sometimes. We cause friction. But we are told to put on forbearance. We are told to put up with each other. Forbearing. Or patiently bearing with one another. If what anything is now wrong. Adam Clark says to avoid all occasions of what irritating or just provoking each other. Yeah. Are you able to put up with others? When we get rubbed the wrong way, can you put up with it? Next, put on forgiveness. Forgiveness. Whoops. Bearing just with one another and just forgiving one another. And that word means to grant as a favor. That is, gratuitously. Yeah. In what kindness, pardon, you, or what rescue, deliver, freely give. Are you willing to grant others a favor when they do you wrong? JB says, just forbearing. Yeah. As with 2% offenses, present offenses. Yeah. And just forgiving as to past offenses. So it is present and it's past. We are told to live forgiving one another. Yeah. After the pattern of what Jesus forgiveness to us. Look at the rest of the verse. Yeah. If what anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not an option. Not an option. We must do it. Must. We should be like Christ. Amen. We should be like Christ. Do you have something against someone? Then forgive. Put up with and forgive. Now we move to the last thing that to put on. And this is love. Love. Colossians 3:14. Look at Colossians 3:14, please. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And that word love is the word charity. And it means brotherly love. It means affection, goodwill, benevolence. It is the word agape. Popular New Testament says, not simply in addition to, nor, oh, above all, but over, as what one puts on an outer garment, or what girdle. This figure being still in mind. I have put on tender mercies, all of with those other ones. And now I'm going to put on love. That's the picture here. Love holds it all together. Love is above all. Love. Amen. Love. Yeah. I'm sweating, Tom. Adam Clark says, love to God. And what man? It's what not only to cover all, but also just to unite. And what consolidate the whole. And the New Believer's Bible Commentary says, love is here spoken of as the outer garment or the belt, which binds all the other virtues together in what order to make up to make up perfection. How is your love toward others? How is that love? We need to put on love for one another. We need to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and love. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? Put on these things. Put them on and keep them on. Let's pray.